Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Good day, mate. Or as they say in Australia...
G'day, mate.
It's Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. We're here at Georgia Tech with a bunch of Aussie boys who apparently are independently wealthy and can take a lot of time off to travel from Australia, spend a month here traveling around the country, witnessing to people on campuses. We're going to talk to the other mates in just a bit, but right now I'm walking with Josh. All right, now you... Actually, this is what you do all day. You go out and you witness to people and you do open-air preaching, right?
That's basically what I do.
All right. Now, we are here in the U.S. of A., not in Australia, so it's a little bit different than it is there, correct?
Just a little bit.
All right. Now, here's what we want to try to do. I'm just going to walk and tag along with you. There's kids everywhere at Georgia Tech today. All right. Now, I got to tell you, there's certain things that I look for when I've got this many choices. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just hundreds of kids walking around right now. I'm going to look for somebody who just looks like they're friendly, they're a little bit more open to things, they don't look like they're in a hurry. Are you sizing them up that way, too?
Yeah, you assess it as you walk around. And you assess it, you look around, so you see what happens.
By the way, how was my Australian accent?
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
You could tell.
It sounded a bit more British.
Now the Brits are mad. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want to try to follow you around.
Yep.
Why don't you tell me what are you looking for, who are you going for, and we'll see if we can get them to talk to you.
I'll probably look for someone who's walking a little bit more slower, hanging around, looks a bit bored.
Okay, find somebody,
I'm trying to, but everyone's going the other way. Excuse me, mate.
Hey.
G'day, my name's Josh.
Hello.
Yeah. Mate, we're doing radio interviews here on campus today.
Okay.
Can we have a couple of minutes of time?
Quick. Sure, I got 3 minutes.
3 minutes? We can walk and talk.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, mate, what we're doing Christian radio, being in the Bible Belt and being from Australia, it's kind of a bit of a different culture for me.
Yes.
So, do you have any sort of religious background or Christian background?
I'm a pastor, actually.
You're a pastor?
Yes.
Excellent.
Wow.
Where do you pastor at?
Grace Lutheran Church.
Grace Lutheran Church.
In the Virginia Highlands, east of Atlanta.
Oh, there you go. So I come from Australia as a Christian preacher, and the first person I speak to is a pastor.
Wow.
Well, mate, maybe you can give a quick clarification for myself and also the people listening. What is the gospel?
The gospel, that we are saved by grace, the grace of God, through faith alone in the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who lived for us, lived the life that we couldn't live, died for us, died the death that we deserved, and rose again from the dead, and is coming again to restore creation.
Sounds pretty good. So how do I partake in the forgiveness of sins?
You believe.
Believe? Do I have to repent?
Sure, you have to repent. So that's part of believing.
Yep, so what does repent mean?
Repent means to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. So turn away from your dead-end road.
So turn from sins and trust that Jesus died upon the cross of sinners and rose again from the dead.
That's right.
Excellent.
Well, it looks like we agree.
We agree.
Wow, this is almost like ecumenism right here, because you're not Lutheran, are you?
Baptist. Yeah.
Okay. Baptist and a Lutheran. Look at that.
Yeah,
Hey. Thanks very much, sir.
You bet.
All right, see you. Goodbye. Yeah. What are you studying here?
I teach Chinese.
Really?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, well.
Say, you're listening to Wretched Radio in Chinese.
Oh, I don't know how to say it. Wretched Radio?
Yeah, wretched. Like, what a wretched man I am.
Oh, yeah. 我是很坏,很不好的人. Wretched Radio. Radio just is like a 坏人台. Yeah,
That's not right.
It's not right.
Yeah, I know Chinese, that's not wretched.
It's not right. It's close enough. Yeah.
Okay, you got the gospel right, good enough. That's fine. Yeah, we'll let you go on the Wretched Radio. See you, sir.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Wow, what are the odds of that happening? And a Lutheran pastor to boot.
Yeah.
So now, one of the things that I noticed even talking to this fellow, I would have picked up that he was a Lutheran straight away. And only because, and this is not by any, not even sort of wrong or heretical, very big emphasis on faith alone.
Yep.
Yes, repentance, but it's just usually faith, and then it's woven in there, which is right, but they usually don't use those words. And grace is a big thing.
Yeah, definitely when it comes to Lutherans, grace and faith. So
yeah, so it's
a very strong Lutheran tradition.
Very strong, and
well,
it's biblical tradition. It's not a bad one.
No, it's not.
All right, want to let you know, we are here at Georgia Tech, and the kids are mostly every place. Do you hear what Josh is trying to do, though, with the Australian accent? He's using it to just get in, to use it as an opportunity to just break the ice. Now, maybe you don't have an Australian accent. Chances are you don't. What do you have? What is your thing? What is an angle? What is a perspective? What is a way that you, if you are out on the streets, you're riding the bus, you're at work, that you can use that's a part of your personality to actually witness to somebody? Take the time to think it out. Just think about what it is that makes you comfortable to be able to do or say, because really one of the most difficult things in a witness encounter is just springing from the natural to the spiritual. And I think you should get there as fast as you possibly can, but that's almost always the toughest part of a conversation. Would you agree with that, Josh, that going from, hey, it's a nice day, the trains are running on time, are you going to heaven or hell?
It's very hard to make that transition, but that's why gospel tracts are so important. You can give it to someone, introduce what the subject is, and off you go.
Let me do this. There's a young lady here who I think is from China. On the back of her T-shirt, it says Bible Crusade. Hello, young lady. May I ask you a question on radio, what you're doing here?
I'm witnessing for Grand Conference.
There's a conference coming, right?
Yes.
And what is the point of the conference? What do you hope will happen there?
Many people receive salvation.
That many people would receive salvation,
yeah,
through the conference.
Yeah.
Okay. I happen to be a Buddhist. Do I need to receive salvation?
Yes, of course, because Jesus came here for all of the world for our sin.
Okay. Are you so I'm a sinner?
If you don't receive a salvation, yes, you're a sinner.
I'm a sinner, and so what will happen to me? I'm a good Buddhist. What will happen to me when I die?
It doesn't matter you're Buddhist, you're Catholic, but if you don't receive salvation, you cannot go to heaven.
How do I receive salvation?
Sorry, I can't English very well, but you through Jesus and then through Bible, and through words, and you can receive a salvation.
Okay, now I looked inside of your pamphlet here, and right on the secret of forgiveness and being born again is what the conference says. The greatest gift of God is the forgiveness of sin, singular. And then on the inside, it uses the word repent, mm-hmm, and believe. Mm-hmm. Is that what I must do to receive salvation?
Yes.
Yes? What does it mean to repent?
Repentance is like just to separated from God, and then like this. Sorry, I cannot English very well.
You're doing just fine. Well, thanks for chatting with me. I appreciate it very much. Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry about I cannot speak English.
You did just fine. Okay, thank you very much. All right, very nice young lady. Oh, hi there. I've got a question for you. You're handing out the information for the crusade, correct?
All right.
Yeah, it says on the front here, the secret of forgiveness, mm-hmm, of sin and being born again.
Yeah.
What must I do to be born again?
Born again is God's promise and present. So, if you believe God, you can receive born again, and you can receive grace and receive everything. So,
what's everything?
Many things. Grace and faith and born again, and salvation. Do you know salvation? Yeah.
Do I need to repent?
Repent. Yeah, also repent. Yeah.
What does it mean to repent?
Repent? I'm sorry, I speak English so little, so...
Yeah. Okay, you're doing just fine.
Yeah, I cannot explain, but I know it's repent. Yeah.
What does it mean?
I'm very dirty. For example, I'm very dirty, I'm very lustful, I'm very, cannot do everything. So, that situation, I'm sorry.
You're dirty and you need to have your sins forgiven.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and you need to say you're sorry?
What?
Do you say, I'm sorry, God, I sinned?
No, but, yeah, I'm sorry about God, but, yeah. do you know John chapter 3?
16.
Yeah, 16. God loves world, right?
Yeah.
And so, what? Right, right. We commit sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God loves God, God loves us. So, it's okay. God loves us.
He sent his son. Got it. John 3:16. Thank you very much for talking with me.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Okay. I got it. Some of the literature, because it's from Chinese to English, I can't really get a handle on what it's all about. There's some stuff in there that's written strange, but it could just be the translation that's involved. I don't know if it's a cult, frankly, for that matter. But here's what I do know. Two young people who can barely speak the English language apparently have some sort of compassion in their heart that they're out on a campus witnessing to people, actually sharing their faith with people. And they can hardly get the words out. Gotta tell you, that's pretty convicting. Now, when we come back, you will hear from some other fellows, because I think this is going splendidly well, wouldn't you agree, who have a bit of an English problem. They're from Australia. Three gentlemen, three blokes, who are in Atlanta, are going to be witnessing to people. Well, we hope. At Georgia Tech, it's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
And now, a story from Dr. John MacArthur.
When I began preaching many years ago, expositional messages, they started circulating the earth on cassette tape. Pretty soon, I started getting invitations from places all around the world to preach there. And people said, we haven't heard preaching like this. Can you teach us how? And eventually, they would say, can you stay and start a school and train our pastors? And now it's developed into maybe 35 different places where the graduates of the Master's Seminary have now set up training schools to train pastors around the world, and it's expanding to the point where I think we have 50 cities waiting for us to come and do the same thing there.
Specifically waiting for you to consider adopting a seminary overseas, Master Seminary graduates equipping men to fill pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. It's a magnificent ministry. Encourage you to learn more and consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. We appreciate your time and we appreciate you listening. And we would also appreciate if you would prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Partner with Wretched to save the lost. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of people just like you. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so all your gifts are tax deductible. Help us to preach the gospel, to equip people to preach the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. And know that 83% of every dollar you give goes right directly to ministry. We ask for your prayer support as well as your financial support by becoming a monthly partner today. You can get all of the details right now at wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the Promised Land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oop, got a scoot. It's Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. Our mate, Josh, from Australia, is here with us at Georgia Tech, along with Heath and Joel. We'll hear from them in a bit, but he's found somebody that's willing to talk to us on the radio. Hello. How do you do?
Good, good.
Can I just sit and listen to you guys talk for a minute?
Sure.
Far out.
Don't mind.
Well, this is Mun, and can you tell listeners what you actually are studying here at Georgia Tech?
Nuclear engineering.
Nuclear engineering. Now, what's that entail? What's that all about?
Just how to run a power plant, basically.
Okay, nuclear, so power plant. Smart person stuff. Okay. Mate, I said we're going to talk about spirituality, morals, religions, etc.
Right.
Do you have any sort of religious background?
I'm Hindu.
You're Hindu?
Yeah.
Now, quickly, what does, in a nutshell, what does Hinduism teach and what does Hinduism believe?
Well, you know, there's many different denominations, I guess you could call it. But, you know, I have my own personal take on it. And that's basically, you know, it's a lot less ritualistic for me. And it's just like, you know, there's a God and you should be devoted to him. And, you know, we have just a few things about how to obtain salvation, and that's about it.
Okay, now you said there is a God and different things on how to obtain salvation. What happens after death and how do you obtain salvation?
For Hindus, the main goal is, you know, for to get salvation. And then that's called moksha. And after death, like, if your soul isn't liberated, then basically it's doomed to stay on earth until you do obtain salvation. And
so
then when
how do you obtain salvation and how do you get your soul liberated?
You're supposed to, like, there's, like, I haven't read up too much on it, but you basically want to detach yourself from, like, desire and, you know, it's like action without care for the reward kind of thing. It's like you're supposed to detach yourself totally from whether something good happens or something bad happens. You should have the same reaction.
Okay, so you're to do away with desire, not to desire things.
Right.
But don't you desire to be liberated and saved?
I don't think it's... Let me think. I think the goal is to be liberated. Like, it happens. Like, you desire to be liberated, but when you're only gonna... It's kind of like a paradox. You're only gonna be liberated when you don't desire it.
But if you desire to be liberated, you can't be liberated.
Theoretically, yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of a big circular system, as such.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so wait. Well, I'm from Australia, and I've been told this is the Bible Belt here in Georgia. Okay, well, Christianity, people profess Christianity all the time.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about Christianity? What do you think about the Christian faith?
What do I know about it?
Yeah, well, what do Christians believe, in your understanding?
Well, there's one and only God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died for our sins. And if you accept those two facts, then you can get into heaven, basically.
Okay, yeah, Christianity teaches there's only one true God. It teaches there's many false gods, but there's only one true God who created the heavens and the earth and created the people of the earth.
Right.
Now, you said Jesus died for sin. Do you know what sin is?
Died for our sins,
Yep, but do you know what sin is?
I feel like I have a grasp of it. I don't think I can define it, though.
Okay, let's define it really quickly. The Bible defines sin as breaking of God's law. Now, have you heard of the Ten Commandments?
Yeah,
you heard of them?
Yeah.
Now, how many of those Ten Commandments can you name?
Thou shalt not steal... shall not covet, shall not,
I'll give you a hint,
respect your parents.
Yep.
Covet thy neighbor's wife. That's
oh, you've got
that
one?
Yeah.
You got three, that's not bad.
Yeah, I can name a little more. I said steal, right?
Yep.
Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill. I give up.
Believe it or not, you're probably better than most Christians, okay? So let's look at those Ten Commandments to see if you have sinned against God. Now, mate, the Ninth Commandment says you shall not lie. Have you ever told a lie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? What do you call someone
who
tells lies?
I've probably done most of them.
I broke all ten, okay? So if someone lies, what are they called?
A liar.
A liar. Well done. Eighth Commandment says you shall not steal. Have you ever stolen something?
Actually, I haven't stolen something, no.
Even something small?
Maybe something small.
Okay.
Not that I can really recollect.
Have you ever burnt CDs or DVDs or downloaded illegal MP3s?
Yeah.
Yep, that's theft.
Yeah.
So what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
A thief, okay. Now, the seventh of the Ten Commandments says you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus said if you even look upon someone who is not your husband or wife with lustful intent, that is looking upon them with sexual desire, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Now, have you ever looked upon a woman with sexual desire? One who's not your wife?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're a typical male.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Have you ever murdered anyone?
No.
This isn't one of the lies you tell all the time, is it?
Uh-uh.
Okay, that's good. Have you hated somebody?
Well, isn't it thou shalt not kill? Does it say, is it thou shalt not kill another human? Or is it just thou shalt not kill?
Okay, in the context, it's talking about don't murder, don't take innocent blood. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says if you hate someone, if you have thoughts of hatred, then in the eyes of God, you're guilty of murder already in your heart.
Okay.
Have you ever hated somebody in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you've murdered. Now, let's look at one more commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Have you ever used God's name as a curse word? Like I said, oh my GD, or use the name of Jesus Christ without the respect it deserves.
Have I said oh my God?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said oh my God before.
Okay, that's called blasphemy, mate. And the Bible says God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So we just looked at 5 of the 10 commandments. You admit to being a lying, thieving, blaspheming, murderous adulterer at heart. Now,
I'm guessing I've done all 10 if...
Yeah, well, the Bible says if you keep every bit of the law, yet break it just once, you're guilty of breaking it all. So, mate, if God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, if the only true God was to call you right now to give an account of all your sins, would you be innocent or guilty of breaking the law?
I guess if it was by the Ten Commandments, probably guilty.
Do you think a just God, a good God, must punish wrongdoing?
I've thought about that too long and I still have no answer.
Yeah. Well, think about this. If I break the law here in Atlanta, okay, and the police will arrest me and a judge must punish me for breaking the law, correct? And the Bible describes God as being a just judge. So God must punish wrongdoing. Yes?
See, I don't know. I told you, I don't know if you should punish people or if you just should try to make them better.
Okay. Well, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the punishment for our sin is death. We die physically because of our sin and we'll die spiritually and eternally in hell because of our rebellion against God. Okay, but did you know God is also good and loving and merciful? Have you heard that before?
I've heard that, yeah.
Okay, do you know how God shows love towards his people?
No idea.
Okay, you mentioned it before. See, 2,000 years ago, God himself, Jesus Christ, came to this earth to save his people from their sins. He died in the place of sinners, and 3 days later he arose again from the dead, defeating sin and death. You see, we deserve to die because of our sin, but Jesus died in the place of his people. And 3 days later, he conquered sin and death and arose again from the grave. So that if you would repent, that is, turn from your sin, and trust that Jesus died for you and that he arose again, all your sins will be forgiven. Let me summarize quickly, okay? It's like we break the law, a fine has been put upon us, a penalty for our crime is put upon us.
Right.
But Jesus Christ paid that penalty so we can go free if we receive it. So that's the only hope of heaven, the only hope of salvation, mate. We are to desire the things of God. We should seek after God and beg God to show mercy towards us and to repent of our sin and trust in Christ. Mate, do you have a Bible?
I might. I can't recall.
If I give you a Gospel of John, okay, it's a little bit about the life of Jesus Christ. Would you read it and think about the claims of Christ?
Yeah, I would read it.
Okay, well, I want to give you one, mate. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me, because it is very important that you think about what's going to happen to you when you die. And as Jesus said he is the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. And he's the only hope for forgiveness of sin. So you must turn from your sin and trust in Christ alone. Thank you very much for talking, mate.
No problem.
I'll give you a Gospel of John and have a read of it, please.
Sure. Yeah, I will.
All right, while this little transaction is taking place, I want to follow up with this young man. Ooh, this is fun for me to get to do. I get to sit and listen. And now, and this is why I think going out in twos is a wise thing. Another person now who's just been the innocent bystander can do a little test. What did you hear? What did you think of that? So let me just do a little follow-up now and just see what they understand.
Excellent. Thanks very much, mate.
Thank you.
Right. Hey, dude, I want to talk to you while you're walking. Oh, all right? Sure. Without you.
No worries.
All right. Tell me your first name again.
It's Manan.
Manan.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
To think in deep thought.
Well, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because you're kind of a deep thinker, aren't you?
Not too much.
Actually, I think you are. I can tell. You've pondered some of these things before, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Because death is kind of an awesome thought, isn't it?
Awesome in a bad way, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a scary thought to us. Okay, yeah. Now that guy was a complete stranger. You've never met him before, right?
Nope.
He talked to you about some pretty personal things. How do you respond to that?
I mean, he was polite. Like, I don't mind listening.
Okay, tell me, give me a summary of what he just said to you.
He said Jesus died for our sins. The only way to God is through Jesus. And then he also told me like the Ten Commandments and basically convinced me I've broken all of them.
That's pretty good. Okay, now that's pretty radically different from Hinduism, though, isn't it?
not so much at the foundation, but like, you know, when you like build it out, it gets really different.
I'm gonna put it in kind of a flat way. So do you think that you are divine, that you are God?
I haven't thought of it that way, really. But I think a lot of the stuff that Hinduism tells you to do, like a lot of the ways they tell you to approach your life, logically makes sense to me.
Okay.
So,
but now what he said though says that Brahman is false, Vishnu, Shiva, all of the other 330 million emanations of Brahman in Hinduism are all false, and Jesus is the only true God.
Right.
That's pretty radical.
It's pretty radical, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind listening to it, though, since I'm, you know, thinking about it usually.
Hey, read that book that he gave to you, okay?
No, I will, for sure.
All right, shake my hand. You're a gentleman. Thanks.
What was your name?
You're a deep thinker. I'm Todd.
Todd, okay.
It means not deep thinker. All right, man? Hey, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it very much. Completely different from one another. He's got a lot to think about, and he's got a Gospel of John in his hand. Pray for him. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, the percentage of North Korean citizens who are exposed to the Bible is steadily increasing every year, despite extreme persecution, according to a new report that investigates and analyzes the conditions of religious freedom in the Hermit Kingdom. The annual White Paper on Religious Freedom in North Korea from the Database Center for North Korean Human Rights found that the number of North Koreans who responded that they have an experience of seeing the Bible increased by 4% each year since 2000. Before 2000, only 16 people had claimed to see the Bible. After 2000, up to 559 North Korean defectors say they had seen a Bible, even though religious literature is banned in the isolated country. Despite limited data, the NKDB began its survey on religious persecution in 2007. For this year's survey, the group collected information from 1,234 people in 1,411 cases of religious persecution. And the latest report found that the numbers of respondents who testified on the ban of religious activities remained the same between 2007 and 2020. When asked about the level of punishment for religious activities in the country, 46.7% of the respondents answered that they have to go to prison camps, and about 38.6% of respondents said that they did not know about punishment since they knew nothing about religion. A Canadian church was prevented from holding a drive-in church service without interruption on Sunday when police blocked cars from entering the parking lot and began issuing fines to anyone who did not leave. Under Manitoba's current public health restrictions for COVID-19, houses of worship are prohibited from gathering in person. Gatherings of more than five individuals at any indoor or outdoor public place are also banned. The Congregation Church of God near Steinbach, Manitoba, had scheduled a drive-in service to allow for social distancing despite a ban in the province. But on Sunday, multiple vehicles with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police arrived at the church, blocking the entrance, and when church members and supporters parked on the street to participate in the service, police warned them that they could be fined $1,296, which is about $1,000, according to a news report. Most of the cars then left. The minister of the church, Tobias Tessine, said that this was an issue of religious liberty, and I would tend to agree. And in news from China, the state considers giving information about religious persecution as a crime equivalent to divulging state secrets and reserves harsh punishments for those who are caught doing this. The Chinese Communist Party is conducting a crackdown on the so-called leakers, or people who expose the state's suppression of religious activities and the people's expression of faith, according to a report from Bitter Winter, an online magazine that focuses on religious liberty and human rights. In one instance, the Ministry of Public Security mobilized a special team to investigate churches regarding a government document that the online magazine featured in one of its reports. However, the director of the Three Self Church clarified that the said document was not a state secret and that copies of it were in fact distributed in the province. He said the interrogation should not have been necessary, but the government is becoming overly cautious of its stability and international reputation. In 2018, China arrested dozens of reporters for exposing a document called Plan for the Special Campaign on Legal Investigation and Prosecution of South Korean Christian Infiltrations. That's a mouthful, but that document outlined how the state would carry out the crackdowns against churches in China that were established by Christian groups from South Korea. The publication of the document reportedly affected China and South Korean relations. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Attributes of God.
you can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill his promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. You can rest assured that his word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. We're at Georgia Tech. Happen to be with... Hey, is the word bloke a bad word?
The word bloke means guy.
All right, got it. All right. Now, we've got another fellow here who's from Australia. That was Josh. You are who, young man?
Heath.
Yes. All right, how you doing, man? You been talking to anybody here yet?
I've been trying to.
Yeah?
Maybe they're not very talkative.
It could be the hat.
It could be.
I think it... Are you a freshman by any chance?
Yes.
I knew that. I'm not. I don't work at a carnival. I just knew it from the shirt. Okay. Dude's from Australia. Should the hat go or should he keep it on his head?
Definitely keep it on his head.
You like it?
Yeah.
Really?
I do.
Do you know what it's made out of, that hat? Right?
No,
there?
I don't.
Tell him what it's made of.
Oh, my one's made out of wool, but Josh's made out of kangaroo fur.
It's a kangaroo fur hat on his head. Okay, where are you from, young man?
Alabama.
Alabama. Could. Would you answer a question for me on the
sure.
radio for this gentleman right here from Australia?
Sure.
You're from the Bible Belt, right?
I guess, yeah.
Are you a Bible Belter?
I wouldn't consider myself a Bible Belter, no.
I don't even know what that means exactly. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Cool. Would you tell this fellow from Australia, it's a very godless place, Australia, tell him what you believe about Christianity. Why are you a Christian?
I don't know. Do I need to have any particular reason? Or is it just more of like a belief kind of thing? You just...
Say if I had 3 minutes to live and you saw me dying there. Say I'm a Buddhist. Would I be going to heaven or hell?
Probably take your hat
and
run.
Oh, I don't know. I believe in reincarnation. That's right.
What do you think would happen to this fellow if he's a Buddhist dying on the street?
I haven't really thought about it.
Okay. What's going to happen to you when you die?
I think I'll go to heaven.
How come?
I guess just because I believe Jesus Christ died for everyone's sins. I believe that he exists. I believe that he was the Son of God and everything.
Okay. So does this Buddhist dying on the street need to believe that?
I think he has a right to believe whatever he chooses to believe, but if you ask me what I believe, that's what I believe.
Okay. Are you satisfied with that? You're good to go? You've only got like a minute to live.
I'm pretty happy with that. I'm going to be born again. I'm going to live another life as a tree or something.
Ah, he believes he's going to be reincarnated, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, so he's going to be reincarnated. So is he going to go to be with you, or will he be reincarnated into a tree?
I have no idea. I've never really learned much about Buddhism at all.
All right. So what does Christianity teach happens to a Buddhist who believes he's going to be a tree?
I guess what Christianity says is that they would go to hell.
How come?
Just because they don't believe in Jesus Christ.
That seems pretty harsh.
It does.
Now what do we do?
All right.
Okay. Okay, so are you suggesting that he's a sinner?
No.
Okay, he's a good guy.
Somebody
you wouldn't say?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So as far as I can tell so far.
So you
I haven't known you very long.
To be a good person as well. Do you think you're a good person?
I would consider myself a good person.
Yeah. So because of that you're going to heaven?
Not necessarily. I guess you can still be a good person and I don't know. Maybe it's just that, you know, just a good, virtuous person, no matter what they believe, might be saved. I'm not sure.
Do you think he's a good, virtuous person?
Oh, I'm sure he's got his good points. For the Bible said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Yeah?
I believe so.
All of them?
I'm sure they don't envy your neighbor. I'm sure everyone gets jealous every once in a while.
So have you ever told a lie?
Yes. And that's also one of the Ten Commandments.
It is.
Uh-oh.
So... what do you call someone who tells lies?
I don't know, a liar.
Yeah. Have you ever stolen anything, even no matter what the value, like downloading movies or CDs off the internet?
I'm sure at some point.
Yeah, so what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Yeah. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I'm sure I have.
That's called blasphemy. It's very serious. The God who gave you life, and you use his name as a cuss word, it's not very good in God's sight.
No.
So, this is a big one, which most men fall in. Jesus said, I'll just get my word straight. He said, if you look upon a woman with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with sexual desire?
I'm sure just about everybody has.
Yeah. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart.
I guess so.
So, if you face God on Judgment Day, would you be innocent or guilty?
I'd be guilty.
So, would you go to heaven or hell on that basis?
On the basis of that, I would go to hell.
So you said before you believed in Jesus Christ, so
yes.
You won't be going to hell. Why is that? Can you explain that for us?
Well, when you put it that way, it's kind of tough to know where exactly you'd be. Because you can feel like you've done all the right things, but then just small little things like that, you know, directly break the Ten Commandments, I guess.
What happened on Easter?
I mean, like, just, I guess it was when Jesus rose from the dead after being crucified.
Okay, so tell me, theologically, who's Jesus?
I would say the Son of God.
Okay. So he's God himself?
Incarnate as man. No, I guess God made incarnate as man.
Okay.
In flesh.
Yeah. So, but God himself.
Yes.
In the flesh. Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. Why did he do that?
I guess he died so that everyone else could go to heaven after him. All the people worthy of going to heaven could go to heaven after that. All the, yeah.
Yeah. The word is, it's a big fancy word, propitiation. He was the satisfaction, because God is angry when people sin and break his laws by lusting or downloading music or not honoring their parents or lying or looking at pornography. And because he's just, he must punish them. But he's also good and he's rich in mercy, so he punished his own son on your behalf. Nobody does good. Not one person except Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't live, satisfying all righteousness, dying on a cross for you, a sinner, so that if you'll respond to that good news by repenting, which means, I'm sorry, God, turn from your sins. And turn from your sins. It doesn't mean you become perfect, but now you hate those things. You know, the things you used to love, it's like, now they're awful things to you. And you desire him and the things of God. You put your trust in Jesus, so you repent and trust the Savior. And God says, because of what Jesus did on the cross, it gets applied to your account. And you'll go to heaven not because you're a good person, but because you're a bad sinner like the rest of us, who's been forgiven by a very good God and by the work of Jesus on the cross. That's the gospel. That I was watching you guys go back and forth, and I could see your brain going, hey, wait a second, I've been trying really hard here, but I've been lusting and lying and doing all these other things. Yikes, I'm in big trouble here.
Yeah.
Which is exactly our predicament. We're all in really big trouble. But the good news is we've got a God who saves. So the Buddhist who lies and lusts, he's in big trouble. Anybody who is breathing, who breaks one of God's laws, is in big trouble. But God is a saving God, and he's a good God, and he desires to save you. What's your first name, dude?
Will.
Will, he desires to save you. That's God's will, to save Will. He wants you to be in heaven so that he can point to a guy like Will and say, do you want to know how good I am? I saved that sinner, Will. And so, Will, I'd ask you to think about this today. This is so important. You're a freshman, and you're starting to enter that stage of life where you're thinking about big things now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, career is an important thing, but your eternity is way bigger than that. So God stands ready to save you if you'll come to him in humility. But you need to figure out we're two strangers, man. You shouldn't believe us. You know, you have no reason to believe a guy with a weird kangaroo hat.
Very
and somebody
cool
like
hat.
Me. It's a very cool kangaroo hat,
yeah.
But you shouldn't believe him. Do you have a Bible, Will?
I do.
Oh, Will, read that thing. Man, crack open the Gospel of John and see if what we're saying is true. All right?
Bye.
Because I want you to go to heaven. So does God. All right? So don't die in your sins. Think about his claims today. And look at the cross. And if it doesn't break your heart, nothing will. Okay? All right. Well, I'm glad I bumped into you.
Yeah.
All right, mate? That's an Australian term. Thanks for chatting. Okay,
thanks,
you got something for him?
Yeah, I've got a CD.
Oh, dude. Listen to that. This thing will rock your world. I don't know if you ever listened to sermons or not. It's by Ray Comfort, introduced by Kirk Cameron. Listen to that, bad boy. It's an excellent thing. And it'll maybe clear up things in your brain so that your thinking about God gets cleared up, okay?
All right.
Hey, Will, thanks for the chat, mate.
All right, thanks.
All right, see you. Goodbye, Will. Okay, look, I'm using your lingo now with the mate.
Yeah, you should stop it. It just doesn't work.
It probably doesn't work. All right, that was Heath talking to Will. Pray for Will because, well, he's an Episcopalian who's been confused about things in the past, and that isn't a shocker, frankly, because in the Episcopal Church, there are some good ones out there, but these days, they've all left. But what we just heard again, somebody who goes to church doesn't understand the gospel. And by Heath opening up the law, dude, you gotta love that when he was like, hey, wait a second, I thought I was doing pretty good here. Now you're making it sound like I'm not doing good at all.
Hey, it's a hard one for people.
It is, but wasn't it kind of nice to see him go, hey, wait a second, yeah, my thinking has been off. And he didn't think you were a jerk.
No.
Could have been the hat, but he didn't think you were a jerk. He was actually like, you know what you're saying makes sense by using the law.
Yeah, I think it's because I'm not calling him a sinner, not ramming it down his throat. I'm just asking him questions,
and
it really helps.
You know, and the truth is, it's not wrong to call somebody a sinner, but it's also not wise, and I don't think it's fair when they don't understand the standard, they don't understand the law, to walk up to a stranger and say, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you need Jesus. Well, that's all true, but it isn't very helpful for the individual, and you come across as a jerk, so use the law to open it up so that they can see themselves the way God sees them. Do it the way that Jesus did with the rich young ruler, the way that Paul did it in Romans 2, in a Socratic sort of way, asking questions. Then they can judge themselves, which is exactly where we want it, so that you don't have to do the judging. We are at Georgia Tech with the Aussies. It's Witness Wednesday of Wretched Radio.
Trust me, you are going to want to call this number, 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Why? Because you are going to talk to a very nice representative at MediShare who will share with you the benefits of joining over 400,000 Christians who have shared over $4 billion in medical expenses. This is the alternative perhaps you have been praying for regarding health insurance. This is affordable, biblical health sharing. 1-844-34-BIBLE. The MediShare representative will tell you what you can be saving per month. On average, $500 per month per family. See, I told you you'd want to call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Okay, did you know that I could read minds? That's a real thing, not fake news. That is absolutely 100% something that I can do, and I'll prove it to you right now. I know exactly what you're thinking. No joke, you're worried that you accidentally left the oven on. And you're also thinking about how much you wish you could get even more wretched. See, I was right, and you're impressed. So first, a couple of things. You're in luck about the wretched part, but you're on your own about the oven thing. You might actually want to check that. Now, about the wretched thing, you can get even more wretched by watching our daily 30-minute wretched TV show at wretched.org/TV. You'll learn topics like theology, hermeneutics, pneumatology, biblical counseling, Christian parenting, marriage, and even how to turn your oven off. Okay, so you're not going to learn how to turn your oven off, but everything else is true. You can find Wretched on Amazon Prime, Roku, Truly, Amazon Fire TV, or at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV for all things wretched. Wretched.org/TV.
No doubt you have heard one of the dire predictions of the effects of coronavirus shutdowns in Eastern Europe and poor nations around the globe. Unfortunately, those predictions, they're a reality.
Even before the coronavirus storm, life was hard for the kids and families that Tomorrow Club serve. We work in forsaken communities where unemployment is high, wages are low, and alcoholism is rampant.
And it is even worse now in all of the Eastern European countries. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's day after day bringing the gospel to kids in poor Eastern European villages to bring hope and help. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? Perhaps now more than ever. $30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 little kids in Eastern Europe. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Da-dun. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, I'm at risk of wrecking something here. It's Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech with three Aussie mates. Joel is with them. He's a young man from Australia, Brisbane, if I'm not mistaken. And he's engaged in a conversation with a guy here at Georgia Tech. I'll wait until he's finished because I don't want to step into the middle of it. It's going really sweet. There's no yelling going on. There's no shouting. Sometimes when you visit college campuses and you talk to kids about evangelists, they go, oh, those people with the yelling and the fire and brimstone, we hate those. We're not doing any of that. Instead, engaging in a conversation. Oh, wait a second. Where did that guy go?
He's got a class to go to.
I don't care. I'll catch up with. Wait a second. Okay, hold on a second. You're going to have to listen to me. What's his name?
Riley.
Hey, Riley. Riley. Hold on, dude. I want to talk with you while you're walking to class. I won't hold you up anymore, but I just want to interview you on the radio after you talk to that guy, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, what were you guys talking about?
He handed me this little $1 million
keep, car. Keep, I'll walk with you.
Yeah, he gave me the money and started talking to me about the Christian message. Sorry, we're walking by some things. Construction equipment here, apparently.
Yeah.
So I talked to him about his faith. He talked to me about my faith. And
what's your faith?
My faith? That's a good question. I cannot sum that up in several words, though. I'm terrifyingly bad Christian, almost as bad atheist, and probably almost as bad Buddhist.
Well, you're an honest one for being terribly bad.
Honesty is so much fun, though.
Okay, he tried to convert you to Christianity, didn't he?
I wouldn't say that.
He didn't. So he was a nice guy, huh?
He was a nice guy. He tried to just show me, hey, this is what I got. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, it was working for him the way it was going right there, but I wasn't really convinced. And I told him, well, this is what I got. It's pretty bad, to be honest, but...
What was he trying to convince you of, Riley? What was he going for?
What was he going for?
Yeah.
Well, he was going for the fact that life is limited and there's a good need to focus on eternity and... The Bible's message that supplies a way to set up your eternity quite well. And it's kind of summing up the part of it that I was focused on the most. I myself focus a little bit more on this life as I feel the question of eternity is kind of... We don't really know if it's there or not. So best to focus on this one right now.
So you mentioned that you're kind of an atheist to boot, right?
Uh-huh.
So do you think that there's any sort of God out there, Riley?
That really depends on how you use the word God. God's a three-letter word that I think everyone uses a different meaning for.
Uh-huh.
Well, at least practically.
God.
Yeah, God.
Okay, did he try to convince you you're a sinner?
He did mention sin. He did mention that he knew his own life was full of sin, and he didn't really...
Do you think you're a sinner?
It didn't really take much convincing. I mean, using the definition of sin that I'm pretty sure he was using, yeah, you could call me a sinner. But I think that's more of a just...
Do you think... Okay, I'm going to use a word for you. You ready?
Okay.
W word. Wretched. Do you think you're wretched?
Wretched. Oh, you are talking to some of the deepest and most fun little names I like to call myself right there, although I usually use the word worm.
But no, I mean, like a genuine... You know, these days, bad means good, sick is good.
Uh-huh.
Everything is the opposite. Do you mean, like, wretched? Like, you're a really wretched, vile, sinful fellow?
It depends on in whose eyes.
God's.
In God's eyes. We get to the issue of
just go with it.
Just go with it?
Yes.
Just go with your definition of God. I don't know your definition of God. You might be thinking of God as a guy in the sky with a white, long beard. Or you might be thinking of God as some sort of, you know, practically extra-dimensional being that we can barely comprehend.
Okay, I'm going to give you one question.
Okay.
Right? Do you...
Do
ever
I?
Look at women
mm-hmm.
with, let's call it X-rated thoughts?
I think that goes along with having a Y chromosome.
Okay.
And yes, I'm not particularly happy with those thoughts, but they're fairly easy to control.
But you do that.
Of course, I also lie. Sometimes I even steal. Sometimes I lie to myself. Well, that's the worst ones, because then you find out you have to beat yourself up over that, because no one else is going to punish you.
All right, I want you to think for me. All right,
I'm gonna
give you a tough one. All right, let's say,
right.
Okay, see this little tiny ant right here. See
this
him?
This little tiny ant.
Okay, you can barely see him, but there's something down there moving
yeah.
around. All right, now, look at that. I killed him.
You did.
What's going to happen to me?
What's going to happen to you? Well...
Nothing, Riley.
Well, you're going to have to deal with the fact that I just saw you kill the ant, you just saw you kill the ant.
You're not going
to
arrest me.
I'm not going to arrest you, no.
PETA maybe will give me a tongue lashing, but other than that, nothing's going to happen to me.
I'd say that the guilt that you could be living with for that would be enough.
Not troubling me a bit. All right,
not troubling you a bit. Well,
I'm going to go into downtown Atlanta, and I'm going to find some homeless guy, and I'm going to squash him. I'm going to off him, as the kids say. I'm going to kill the guy.
Right.
What's going to happen to me?
You are going to encounter some brain damage because you just killed a man, and you're also going to...
Legally, what's going to happen
legally,
to me?
We're not talking about law here. We're talking about...
Of course we're talking about law. What's going to happen to me for killing the bum on the street? Come on, go with
okay.
me.
Okay, all right. No officer would probably arrest you because you probably wouldn't get caught.
Okay.
Because no one would probably investigate it.
Let's say 10 years, 15
10 years. 10 years, 15 years.
All right. I fly to Washington, and I assassinate the President of the United States. What's going to happen to me?
Well, the law has a habit of catching you faster for that one.
It sure does.
And also punishing you harder for that one.
Okay, now here comes the big question.
The big question, all right.
All right, I killed an ant. Nothing happens to me. Kill a bum, 10 years. Kill the president, life in jail. Same crime, Riley. Different punishment. What changed in the scenario?
The way the law looks at it.
How does the law look at it?
Well, the law's going to have more ties to the president than it does to the bum, than it does to the ant.
Would you agree with this? That the president is esteemed higher than an ant and a homeless man.
In the eyes of the law of humans, yes.
Yeah. That is what I think is the reason that you don't think you're really a wretched worm. Because you're able to go, yeah, I lie, I lust, no big deal, whatever. No, everybody else does. But what you don't understand is that your crimes are against the God who made you. So while you think they're no big deal,
don't
the God of the
question
universe
whether or not
very
I think
bad
that those crimes are a big deal, sir.
Do you think they're a big deal?
Do I think they're a big deal? Yeah. Yes. Sometimes I can barely get work done because I realize that I am not as perfect as I could be. Sometimes I
Why does that trouble you, Riley?
Why does that trouble me? Because I have nothing else to do with my life besides become perfect. And unfortunately, dude, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Can I shake your hand? But I literally have 2 minutes before I have to get to a seminar.
Okay.
Thank you. So what is your name?
I'm going to do this in 60 seconds. Tell me, what is the gospel, Riley? What's the gospel?
The gospel says that I can attain a clearance for my sins if I happen to believe in the word of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, I don't see much of a reason to do that, sir. It's been a pleasure talking.
You've got every reason to do that. Alrighty. Oops, sorry. Pardon me. Excuse me. Pardon me. Wow. Who led classes out here? They're all heading in the same way. I'm suddenly like a salmon swimming upstream. Actually, isn't that shocking? Did you hear what Riley said at the very end? Well, he was saying that he feels this lack of perfection, that he feels like he's guilty, and Jesus can forgive all of his sins, but I just see no reason to believe that. Oh, what does this fellow need? He needs the Holy Spirit. He needs to be regenerated. Dude, hey, young man, how come you don't have shoes on?
I have no idea.
Don't they require you wearing shoes?
They do in some places, but on occasion,
aren't you going to one of those places?
I'm going to class. I don't care about
shoes. You got flip-flops in your bag.
No.
You're going to class barefoot?
They have, what's it called? They have shoes in the, or holes... Holes are in the bottom of my shoes, and besides that, I regularly lose them. They're just hidden around my house somewhere.
What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Physics and math.
Dude, let me ask you a big question. I just met you, so we're complete strangers. This is maybe going to come out of the blue.
Alrighty.
You're a physics guy, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the big thing in what's why are we here? How did we get here? What are we doing here? What's the point?
I think that's more of a philosophical question than a physics question.
Oh, I agree, but I wonder if your physics have informed your philosophy in any way.
I try to keep them separate because I don't feel it's scientific to make inferences out of physics, especially when a lot of things in physics, it's not really known whether or not a given like theory is just an effective theory where the math describes what's going on properly, but that might not be what's really going on. So it makes good predictions, but you can't maybe extrapolate it into other things.
So what do you think the point is? Why are you here? What's going on? Where'd you come from? Where are you going?
The point that life is fun, and so we should maximize our fun.
You're a hedonist.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or are you an Epicurean? Do you know the difference?
I don't know what an Epicurean is.
And hedonist is eat, drink, and be merry. Party on. Who cares about the hangover? A hedonist...
That would describe me pretty well.
We'll let it happen. An Epicurean...
Probably describe a lot of college students pretty well.
Well, an Epicurean doesn't care for the hangovers and the diseases, so he partakes of all those things, but in somewhat more moderation or a finer level, so that the hangover isn't as powerful the next day.
No, moderation is not a good thing. You should definitely throw ideas of standards and taste out the window, because I think the only thing that standards and tastes do to you is restrict that which you can enjoy. Uh-huh. So
you don't like rules, is what I'm hearing.
Well, no, not that. Like,
do you like
I'm
rules?
Talking about like personal standards. Like in terms of what you have to do to exist in society is abide by a bunch of rules or whatever. But in terms of like personal tastes and standards and such, I think that they only really serve to restrict what you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. So if you like say, oh, I don't like this kind of music, well, that's just throwing that entire, say, kind of music out the window and restricting you from enjoying it. Now, I'm not saying, like, you can, say, force yourself to enjoy something. Like, that might be more difficult, but it's an ideal to live up to, I suppose.
All right. So that's it. That's your big shebang. That's life.
Yes, pretty much.
All right. Don't step on any glass while you walk, okay?
I try.
All right. Guard your feet.
Nice meeting you.
Carry on. Goodbye. What a sad thing. We are at Georgia Tech, and until tomorrow, go serve your king.